Hello, everyone. So I'm going to cover something that I don't often see covered. Mostly, I think it's because it's such a varied subject that it's kind of hard to pinpoint how to explain any of this. So instead of telling you what to do, I'm going to just show you what I do and why I do it. And maybe it'll give you ideas. So to break what this video is down is basically how to handle sketching in a variety of ways that best benefits what you're doing. The problem with, I think, a lot of people is they'll see someone sketching, especially people tend to obviously find people who are very skilled online and see the end result of a lot of things and assume a lot of their sketches are really clean. But from my experience and what I've seen, the sketch is always just, its use is for the user, not for anyone else. So if it's functional and it gives you great results, it really doesn't matter what that sketch looks like. So I'm going to break down a list of ways I've sketched and I've seen other people sketch and I've simulated to see what kind of results it gives me. Some I kind of gravitate towards more because I'm more comfortable with them. Even though other varieties give me better results, I just feel really uneasy using them, which is kind of weird, but you know, that's how art works. It's not always a very clear-cut system. So I'm going to start with the marker mode. So basically, this is pretty popular. I've seen a lot of people do this. You basically grab a marker style brush, marker style brush in this sense is any brush that kind of functions like a flat, semi-transparent mark like this. This is pretty functional because you can kind of lightly draw an idea and then you can get in deeper. I do this a lot with my drawings. I'll draw a character. Let me just draw this here. I'll draw, you know, a really bad environment. You can see right here, put a house over here. I want to kind of define a certain area, so I'll use the same kind of marker tool. And then because the marker works in a way where it doesn't erase opacity, I can kind of come in on the same layer and do stuff like that. I have another marker variation I use. Works similar but has a different texture to it. I've been using it a lot lately. You've probably noticed it. I'll get into why I use this more than my marker now, even though it looks crappier and it has more jaggeds and it's textured more. So we'll get to that in a minute. So the next thing to cover I do quite often, especially with thumbnailing, is I zoom in to around 300 to 400%. I use a sharp brush with a bit of softness, and I sketch my details. And the reason you'd want to do this, you're like, well, you don't have any detail. You can't even draw a fucking face. That's the fucking point. Oh, I'm swearing. Hey, kids, if you're watching this, I'm going to swear. All right, so what are you doing watching my channel anyway? Jesus Christ. The goal here is I really want to just get these ideas down, but I don't want to fucking spend. I always get into these details. And it always slows me down. So just zoom in until you only have enough pixels to describe simple shapes. I mean, if you've got to zoom in really hard, like, there's only so many things I can tell with at 1600 pixels, which is the most I can zoom in. You know, if I got to draw a little guy over here, you know, all I'm going to get in is this kind of silhouette shape. You know, so I have to really be effective with my shapes and my silhouettes. Does this read like a guy holding a big sword? Does this cape read? Well, if it does, it means you very likely have a working silhouette. But the reality is, not the reality. Anyway, the point is that if you use a low res drawing style like this, which I actually used to use a lot when I had a hard time scaling back my details. It'll just prevent you. You literally can't do this. And a lot of things I'm going to show you is actually stuff artists do traditionally, using a fat marker or using a big charcoal block or using, a carpenter's pencil. They aren't doing this just to be, you know, fucking hipster artists that are just, look, I'm using something else. There's a function and a purpose to drawing big, and there's a function and a purpose to limiting your color palette and all these other kinds of self-imposed limitations. So here's another one. Let's say, label it under noise. Basically, if your brush is sketchy enough, it's hard to kind of get details in again. So you're just kind of focusing on shapes and form and, you know, on general ideas. I don't even know what the hell this is. It's like a deformed furry thing. Hey guys, I'm a furry. Teeth. And so, you know, that's another option you have. I'm not too fond of that. I've always got some noise in my brushes, but I don't go overly crazy with it. You know, it's fun to draw hatching and stuff in it too, because it just gives a nice appeal. Brush shape. So this brush, a lot of my brushes are actually kind of interesting. They're triangular, and you can see it here. This one is slanted, and it's not even slanted flat. It's actually got a diagonal shift to it. And believe it or not, as frustrating as I could see someone being annoyed with having to constantly not be able to get a perfect stroke, this is intentional. I don't want to have to consider, basically you're putting yourself in a situation with a perfect, you know, if you're using perfect sharp brush like this, oh, that's even not even one. If I'm using this, then I do a corner, then I'm tempted to fuck around with shit. Don't. And if you're not tempted and you can work function without having to go futz with lines, that's awesome. Some people can't. I can't. I'll see, like, you know, I'll know that my brush does this, so I can't come and fix it because I know it's a fruitless endeavor. Because as soon as I start fiddling with it, I'm using a brush that can't even manage the job properly. So I'm actually intentionally putting flaws into my sketching tools so that it focuses more on blending and on other aspects and less on, and here, like, I'm not going to get that, but that's the purpose. The purpose is I just don't want it. Have to focus on that. I'm going to actually add another thing here because I forgot about it. Color. So next is, sketching with the soft tool. Whoops, I got the old Psy lockup. Let's see if I can get this thing to work. There we go. Okay, back to this thing. What's going on? It's like blurring now. Oh, here we go. So I have a tool here that I use, and it's just like a blurry doodad. And I think I've got two blur brushes I use. This one I keep having to reset because I keep crashing out. And it's actually really not very optimal. But if you want to get, you know, some shapes in and see what they look like real fast and not commit to anything, as soon as you shrink the brush, it kind of helps refine what you're doing. You know, so once again, sketching isn't about accuracy. It's about thinking, then exploring. You want it to be readable, but not refined. You want it to function as a previs. And the faster you can get to visualizing a concept and it working for you, the better you are. You know, does this person look like they're holding, you know, a big gun in their hand? Is their shoulder off? Is everything balanced? Is the head the right size? You know. Silhouette mode, which is a little awkward, although I got a lot of good results all of it is you literally just draw out what you're trying to do in a silhouette only. And I'm just going to use a big fat brush so that I'm not tempted to do anything but to get that silhouette out. You know, so if I go here, if I want to draw a person, their gigantic titties, you know, and then I want to, should the hair be like that? Maybe the hair is like down here. And then, you know, you can scrape in a few shapes if you want to, like, clear it up. You know, is this good? You know, that's one way to do that. And I've used this actually with a lot of positive results. I just always feel really kind of lost when I do it. I don't feel too comfortable doing it. And then maybe I just, that's a good thing and I need to keep it up. Red line is not really, doesn't need to be red. I just called it that to remind me what it meant. It reminds me of those Japanese animation illustrations where they're just using a red line to kind of, they're using fairly obvious geometric construction lines. And I'm going to draw a terrible hand here. You've probably seen these. Anyway, the point is, it's just a very obvious, very strong line that's kept kind of limited in the sense that they obviously are just trying to reduce the stroke count. That's a terrible idea to draw a hand. But you've seen these, you know, you've seen it when they do limited body styles. Usually it's pretty common when you see board breakdowns and animation breakdowns for anime. You know, so they'll do. Sort of deal. Background is essentially the background color. Now, often you guys will see me drawing on a slightly darker background or a color background. Genuinely speaking, this is a preferential thing in the, it's a combination just not killing your eyes and a combination just feeling pleasant. It's sometimes weird because some people really get great results working on a paper texture because the paper breaks up all the lines, so they're not, like, once again, they're not focusing on their lines. You know, so sometimes when I do color, I'll just grab some colors that feel good together. That doesn't feel good together at all. You know, and then you just kind of off you go. This is less structural to kind of any kind of technique and more just the pleasant thing. I actually think the negative method has more positive results for me. So sometimes you'll see me drawing in a chalkboard method. And the reasons why this actually works is there's a few things you can't do in chalkboard. Is one, you can't really highlight anything. You can't put any shades in because it looks weird. So if you do like, you know, if you do like a mouth, you know, if you do like a mouth and you start shading in the mouth, it just looks like there's white in the mouth. You know, but you can still kind of pull off some things here. The other thing chalkboard kind of does is you're not really ever going to get any of that detail you want in, and it's really high contrast, so it's hyper visible what you're doing while still being low fidelity, so you can get a really clear idea of all your shapes. You know, and regardless of what you're doing, you're always going to get like a very strong contrast and visibility factor. And the best part is you're not burning your eyes out on a goddamn white background, which if you've been on a computer long enough, you're going to get tired of just staring at white all the time. This is why all the cool-ass coders code on black backgrounds, because they're just the baddest and sweetest, coolest dudes ever. No, really, though. They, after a while, the white background will kill you, and your eyeballs will thank you. You know, so there's a lot of positives for doing this. Mostly similar reasons to what I've mentioned before. You've got low fidelity, but high visibility and previs. Pen grip, so I'm going to explain this really quickly. There's different ways to hold a pencil, and sometimes I'm going to draw a terrible hand. Sometimes I hold it. Let's see, got to look at my goddamn hand here. Sometimes I hold this bad boy like this. Is that visible? Does that look like anything? Okay. Sometimes I hold it like this, which is kind of a slight angle. Or sometimes I hold this guy right up and down. And the reason I do this, and I don't do this for sketching, well, depends. If I'm holding this in the claw here, up and down claw, and just, I'm just doing it right now. If I'm holding this in the claw, and I just don't move my wrist, I move my elbow around, I get nice sweepy curves, and you get the best pressure sensitivity when your stylus is up and down. Because when it's up and down, you get your full range on the stylus pressure detecting. When it's on the side, it's kind of rubbing against the channel where the stylus holds itself. So it's kind of hitting a bit. Here, I'll show you. This is the tip, and this is the channel it sits in. When it's on the side, it's kind of rubbing against this side here, so you're not getting a perfect up and down pressure on the actual device that detects pressure. And then there's the kind of loosey-gooseys. You know, you can be doing this sort of deal. You know, you could be doing this sort of deal where you kind of have it on the side here, and you're kind of just holding it really, really loose. And I've actually found myself preferring multiple methods lately, just to help keep everything varied. I don't even remember what brush that is. I lost it because I clicked something. Let's go back to something like this. Too many brushes. You know, sometimes I have my fingers right under the stylus like this, and my fingers are just kind of cupping. I know that looks really weird, but this is what I'm doing, and it's like I'm holding it up. The stylus is just kind of sitting in my hand under gravity weight. And the way that it balloons out, you know, like this, and then the stylus is just kind of peeking out. And then sometimes I'm, you know, instead of having the two finger between these two fingers here, I have it under my third finger. And then these drawings are pretty weak. Let's get the thing out here, and then. What does it look like? I gotta look at my hand here. So if you got fing one, and you got fing two, and then you got fing three, and then it kind of sits between these. Once again, you're like, well, why do you do this? What's the point? Well, sometimes your hand gets tired, and also the more restricted your hand position is, the less likely you are to move your wrist around. If you're not comfortable, If you're putting your hand in a position that's more locked, you're going to rely on your other methods to move it around. So you're going to actually start using your elbow and shoulder more, which Some people claim you should always do. I'm on the fence about it. You know, if you're always going to use one way, then you're going to wear it out and it's going to become a crutch. So, additionally, if you're going to start moving your pens around, unfortunately, you know, Wacom for the longest time supported multi-pens. So if you had three pens, it would actually put a different ID on each pen. They stopped doing that. So now if you set a setting in one of these pens and it's not a completely different type of pen, it won't remember, which is unfortunate because some of my pens, I'd like it to have a really soft level to it so that I can hold it on the side and I don't have to press very hard. But now I have to kind of, every time I want to change this, I got to go to, you know, you gotta go to these damn tablet properties. And then I gotta go. Map. I gotta go. Where the hell is it? I gotta go to Grip Pen. Oh, my porn. That's funny. And I gotta go to Customize. And I gotta go switch this shit around every time, which is kind of nonsense, but that's what it is. So. You know, here it is on the side, and you can see I have to kind of work at it to get any kind of detail. And then, of course, if I have it straight up and down, you got this. I got way more pressure control. And this is on the side, you can see, you know, it's kind of the middle ground. So you want to kind of maybe tweak your settings depending on how you're holding your pencil. I think I covered low fidelity. Essentially, make your brushes clumsy. Make them soft. Make them not perfect. So that you're not focusing on inking, or you're not in an inking mindset. You're not considering the line quality. You're just considering using it as to shape out what you're doing. Scribble. Okay, so there's a few rather talented people out there that do this freaking drawing method, and it just blows my mind they get such good results out of it. But I gotta move these over because they're kind of blocked in. So let's go over here. Of course, let's go over here. Okay. Alright, so J.J. Frenchy and Breckest are most notable for this method, and I've attempted it, and it's not a completely natural aspect for me, but the idea is you just kind of, you don't really focus on any kind of structure at all, you just kind of meander in these concepts that you have, and then you come in later and you just kind of get those lines in when you need them. You know, like you just kind of like, you don't care about anything. You just, oh, I need that there. Okay, that's cool. I need another person here. Okay, well, let's just start. Let's not give a shit about the arm goes up here. And then they got a little tiny arm there. And basically what you're just doing is you're just getting enough data on the screen so that your mind can start fleshing things out. And you're like, okay, I didn't like that. Yeah, let's do that there. Okay, this person's leg. Let's just draw it. And you're really never erasing. You're not doing anything except just filling this out until it works for you. And shit gets messy. I've seen it get pretty messy. I mean, you can always come in and erase, so it's not like you're preventing yourself from doing that. You can be like, okay, now this person's there. Okay, then this person's going to be over here. And I think it's the concept is you just, it's low pressure because you're not anticipating a good drawing ever. You're not expecting anything good out of this, in the sense that you aren't going to be like, oh, that's a good line. I should really keep that. None of that happens with this method. You're just posing it all out until, you know, something kind of clicks and then you stop and move on. You know, so I got here these three people with shields and these people on the ground here. And, you know, this looks like scribbles to you, but I can sort of see what's going on here. And then, you know, at some point I can come in and kind of erase a bit. Right? And then you just come in again and just redo the process. Kind of clean up some ideas. Break it down a little more. Right? These lines serve only you, no one else. So do you really need a really clean sketch that you're not even sure you like or works? Like, if you're the only one consuming this, its functionality is way more important than anything else. So if you need to get surface details, if you need to get break down some shapes, you know. So there's all that sort of detail. Let's move that over to here, because I need room for structure. Next in the thing is the structure, which, I mean, sometimes what happens is, you know, when you're drawing and you keep banging your head against this fucking issue, and you're like, oh man, I really need to get this thigh to work, and some people are always drawing structurally. I don't personally advocate this, because I feel like a structured geometric sketch will always give you this a similar, very consistent result with no real room for exploration. So sometimes I find that it's better to rely on a structural geometric issue, sketch style, when you're trying to break down something that, A, you've had problems just trying to visualize. So here I've got a shoulder, and I'm drawing the outer sockets to these so that I can see kind of where they're aimed at. Also, if you're not very good at doing it, it doesn't help as much, which is unfortunate for me, because I really need to bone up on my shape game. You know, these shapes should be easier for me. But sometimes you gotta just break this down as geometrically as possible. Some people really like the results of a geometric breakdown and will stick to it, which is fine. Of course, this whole hip area is a mess. So let's see if I can... I'm going to try to break down the leg into some geometric shapes. One of the benefits as well of geometric sketching and structural sketching is that you can get a good feel for things being off way faster. Just because a socket won't fit properly. Like, it's just a matter of the pieces aren't working together. And if they don't work together, it's because, you know, there's a geometrical or a structural issue. So right here I've got this ball socket I need to get in there as well. You know, and hopefully everything kind of fits in. How you decide to break down the body is also up to you. You know, and if you got a head at an angle, you can do the roundy sphere, you can do the box, you know, all these methods, you know. So for instance, let's say you're going like, oh, okay, I got this character and they're like this, and you know, they're like this, and then you're having a hard time, let's say, placing the breast. Well, just break it down into a shape. Just do the crossings and draw where it contacts the skin. You know, visualize that. If you got another piece, you got the breast and the bicep area, you know, break that down until it looks right to you. Here I want to ensure that the shoulder is going a certain way. So what I'll do is I started doing this kind of ball joint thing, and I feel it's like really the easiest way to viz, because I know what this circle means to me. It means, so I know that I want this arm to be over here. The other method, of course, is you just draw the shapes along the thing. I don't like having to draw the shapes all along the arm. I just like that the joints kind of tell the story, and then have the other segments. So now I've got a much stronger idea of how these parts are moving through 3D space. Now that I do, I can start building, you know, the body a little better and structurally breaking it down. But you don't, if you start doing this stuff structured, the problem is, of course, I feel you're going to just kind of limit your drawing in a few ways. It's just going to feel always, it's going to always feel a certain way, and you're never going to get a full flow out of your image. Shaping is basically, there's a few artists who do this. I think Suni does just a lot of shape drawing. You're going for shapes first, and then anatomy and everything is second. So if the shape is interesting, then it doesn't really matter. And you can do this with anything. You just, here, I'm going to just draw a random shape here. And then be like, you know, well, that's not interesting. How about this? And you're like, okay, I got this shape now. I can maybe jam a person in. You know. So you're kind of either shaping the whole thing, or you're getting just large shapes in, visually kind of building up based on a shape you like. You know. So this is a bunch of shapes here, and I'm going to start refining it. It's a butt, if you didn't know. And then we're like, oh, you know, these shapes look good. And so forth. So it's just another method of handling it. Stylist tip. Keep in mind that Wacom tablets has a variety of tips that all dissolve under the pressure of their proprietary tablet surface that likes eating these up. I swear to God, they know what they're doing when it comes to selling you things. Okay, so I use the springy one on my inking stylus, and I use a pretty standard regular one or a black one on my sketchy ones. Really, all I want is it to not make a clicking sound, which half of them do. I also want the ends to not turn into chisels, which they do eventually. So I'm looking for least amount of annoyance. Annoyance factor minimal for my stylet's tips. The springy one is nice because it softens the impact, so that if you really want a good, strong one of these. Oh man, since when is that? If you got one of these, I'm gonna actually change this because that's weird. There you go. Yeah. Where's my tablet setting? I don't like. So I'm actually changing this because I didn't like that. See, when you hit down, it does that initial blob. That's bad. That's not fun at all. But when you're drawing sideways, you really don't get that. Let's see if I can still get it. There you go. No initial blob. There you go. And then finally, lastly, color. And this is really not that important. I mean, I don't know. I'll tell you what. It's more important for inking than anything else. I always kind of draw with some level of color. I never go straight to black. And it's just because contrast is good, but too much contrast is just jarring, and then you spend too much time, or like, it feels too committal. Like, if I do this, I'm like, man, everything's so dark, and I want to start fixing things. So, you know, just find a good color that's nice and light, that shows good contrast without being, you know, aggressive on your eyes. And that about covers it. So hopefully that'll help some of you who are confused as to what to do when you're trying to draw or sketch it or whatever it is. And hopefully one of these methods will really stick with you and get you the results you want. All right, well, take care, guys.